This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Dearest brothers, sisters and youngsters, today is the first Friday, Jumu'ah, in the month of Ramadan. It is an amazing and blessed time to be alive. Think about this. We are in the most blessed month of the year, on the most blessed day of the week, doing one of the most blessed acts of worship, fasting. Subhanallah. May Allah accept it from every single one of us and grant us the ability to be grateful for such a blessing. Now that we have been fasting for a number of days, it has become easier for us, almost like habit. But one of the things that happens when you get used to something is that you forget why you are doing it. And the intention behind, or the motivation behind doing something difficult, seems to then fade away and you forget about that. So the first thing I wanted to speak about is, why do we fast? What is the wisdom behind it? And what is it that we're supposed to achieve through our fasting? In order to answer this question, we go to one verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 183, where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Believers, fasting has been ordained, prescribed upon you, like it was on those before you, so that perhaps you would attain taqwa, mindfulness of Allah, cautiousness of Allah, the fear of Allah. All of these words can use to translate taqwa. Now, one of the first things we take from this verse is that fasting is not something only Muslims do today. It is something, Allah says, that was given to people before you. And Imam Al-Qurtubi said, one of the first people to fast in the month of Ramadan was the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. That when the flood came, and after it subsided and the people with Nuh disembarked from their ark, they fasted in the month of Ramadan. And therefore, what we are doing today is a tradition passed down hundreds, if not thousands of years, going back to the light of Nuh alayhi salam. And that should make us feel very privileged that we are doing something that was done by incredible people even before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the second and more obvious point is that fasting is an obligation. Obligation upon those who are of the right age and have the health to do it. And it is very strange that today I have come across people, I think for the first time, that are considering not fasting for an invalid reason. For example, recently somebody asked me about their son. It's a grown man, young man, who plays tennis. And he said, it's okay if my son doesn't fast because he has a tennis tournament. Allah would not want him to harm himself. And I thought, subhanallah, for the sake of playing a sport, this person feels that, you know what, Islam doesn't oblige this, my son. And I thought about, subhanallah, the hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili, which Shaykh al-Albani said is sahih, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, I was sleeping when two angels came to me, i.e. in a dream, and they took me by my arm to a steep mountain. And then they said to me, climb up. And I said, I cannot. And they said, okay, we will make it easy for you. And so they took him to another location. And there, the Prophet ﷺ heard the voices of people in pain and suffering. And he asked angels, who are these people? The angel said, these are the screams of anguish from people being thrown into the hellfire. May Allah protect us. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, he was moved to another location. And there he saw people being hung upside down from their thighs. And the sides of their mouths had been torn open. And blood was gushing out. And then he asked, who are these people? And the angel said, these are the people who used to break their fast earlier than they knew they were supposed to. Subhanallah. Now look at this. This is a punishment of people who start the day fasting. But because they couldn't be bothered, they decided to break it early. What then about people who say, you know what, I can't even be bothered to fast in the first place. And they don't even make the effort to begin the day fasting. You see, some of us have gone so far away from the message of Islam, which is to submit ourselves to Allah and His will, that we start to think about what we want first, and then what Allah wants second. And this is the problem. It is not the case that Islam obliges fasting on people that are unable to, because their health does not permit. If you feel that you are unable to fast because of a health reason, then it is simple. You would go to a Muslim doctor and ask them, I have such and such condition. Do you think, in your professional opinion, that I am free from the obligation of fasting? In which case, you would make up the fast later on when you recover, or you would pay the fidya if you are unable to do that even in the future. But we're not talking about those people. We're talking about people that, may Allah give you understanding, just feel like, you know what, I just can't be bothered to fast. May Allah grant you understanding. Moving on in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says, we gave fasting to you so that perhaps you would attain taqwa. And this is the real objective behind fasting. That we fast not just to become hungry and thirsty and tired, but we fast for a higher purpose. And that is to acquire something called taqwa. What is taqwa? It is the ability to shut down desire for the sake of Allah. That as human beings, we give in to our desires to see things that are haram, listen to things that are haram, and to do things that are haram. But what stops us sometimes, what helps us say no to this haram thing, is taqwa. And Allah is saying that fasting will help you to acquire this spiritual fruit. And that is why Umar ibn al-Khattab, he asked his companion Ubay ibn Ka'b, what is taqwa? And he said, Umar, have you ever walked down a thorny path? Meaning a path where there are bushes with thorns on either side. And Umar said, yes. He said, tell me, how did you walk down that path? He said, well, I would cling onto my clothes and hold them up so that I would not be caught by any of those thorns. Or Ubay said, exactly. That is what taqwa is. Meaning, when you walk through life mindful of the things that Allah said, don't do this and make sure you do this. How does fasting help you do that? Well, think about this. For 30 days, we will be saying no to halal. When our stomachs say we are hungry, when our throats say we are thirsty, in response we will say no. We will shut down this desire for the sake of Allah and say, when Maghrib comes, then we will enjoy these things. And that voice is the voice of taqwa. The heart is speaking. And then when that moment comes at Maghrib, when you sit down and you hear the adhan of Maghrib and then you eat the date, the taste and the feeling of doing something great, knowing that Allah is pleased with you, is developing that taqwa. And so after 30 days you've said no to halal, you can now say no to haram a lot more easily. Because before this, I was saying no to halal. Now I see haram and I hear haram and I see people doing haram, I can easily say no. I don't want to be a part of this. Because this is something that goes against that feeling of taqwa. May Allah give us this fruit from fasting. But the verse says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And لَعَلَّ can mean perhaps. As if to say some people will fast, but they will not attain taqwa. And this is what I wanted to bring to your attention. You see, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ. There may be a person who fasts, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. But all he gets, all she gets from her fasting is hunger. What does that mean? It means that this person, even though he stayed away from food and drink, his eyes and ears and tongue were not fasting. They were doing the same sins as they were before they were fasting. And so they do not achieve anything through their fasting except for hunger. And what a foolish person this is. When you have been placed in a situation to get something so valuable, but you squander it. And that is why Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion, he said, إِذَا صُمْتَ, if you were to fast, فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعَكَ وَبَصَرَكَ وَلِسَانَكَ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَحَارِمِ. If you're going to fast, then make sure your eyes and your ears and your tongue are fasting as well. From things like lying and other haram activities. So think about this. Now that you are fasting, make sure your eyes are fasting as well, by not looking at indecent things. And this often happens when you are on social media, scrolling through pages, and then all of a sudden you see something haram, something that provokes your desire, spoiling your fast. But it was your fault because you allowed your eyes to look at those things on your phone. So at least whilst you are fasting, say, you know what, I'm not going to go on social media or go on these websites because it's going to corrupt my fast. Make sure your ears are fasting from things like music and listening to gossip. I know some people are addicted to music. But you know what? This month of Ramadan could be the thing that sets you free from this bad habit. Especially those who listen to music with explicit content, where the person has lyrics speaking about content which you know is haram and is filthy and is indecent and it is corrupting your heart. Stay away from these things. And also make sure that your tongue is fasting. Did you know that a minority of scholars such as Ibrahim al-Nakhai believe that lying and backbiting breaks the fast? Yes. And if you were guilty of these sins, you would have to repeat your fast. Now, even though the majority of scholars say this is not the case, lying and backbiting reduces the reward of fasting, it is still very important that we do not lie and backbite whilst we are fasting. And it can happen very easily. Sometimes it happens because you are in the company of somebody who you are used to backbiting with, you are used to lying with, you are used to gossiping with. And so in Ramadan, especially while fasting, say, I will keep away from this person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to fast this Ramadan with our stomachs, but also with our tongues and our ears and our eyes. Allahumma ameen. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'i muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. One of the reasons Ramadan is such a sacred and special time is because it is the month in which the Quran was revealed. As Allah says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. It is where the mission of the Prophet ﷺ began, because he was inside the cave of Hira on that night when Jibreel ﷺ visited him and revealed to him the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. And that night is the night of Laylatul Qadr, the night of honor, the night of power. And it is because the Quran began to be revealed to humanity that the month of Ramadan is the best month of the year. And the best night of the year is Laylatul Qadr, because that is when the Quran was revealed. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, Ramadan is supposed to be a time that we are not just fasting, but we are interacting with the Quran much more than we do outside of Ramadan. One of the reasons we do this is because the Prophet ﷺ, he told his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that every Ramadan Jibreel alayhi salam visits me and we revise the Quran together. But this year, he said, Jibreel has visited me twice, and I see this as a sign that my end is near. So the fact that Jibreel would visit the Prophet ﷺ in the month of Ramadan to revise the Quran is the reason why we also read and interact with the Quran more. In fact, some of the scholars of the past, they would read the entire Quran not just once in Ramadan, but multiple times. In fact, it is reported from Imam Shafi'i and Imam Abu Hanifa through multiple chains that they would complete the reading of 60 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. Imagine that. 60 Qur'ans in the month of Ramadan. Imam al-Bukhari is reported to have recited one Qur'an every 3 nights, and then in the last 10 nights, one every single night. And you may think, how is that even possible? And to be honest, when I used to read this, I think, how is this possible to read this much Qur'an? Until recently, I went to a conference in Luton, and there was a small masjid that I prayed dhuhr in, and the imam came up to me and he said, you know, this is our masjid, we have an alim course here, we have some hafaz here as well. And recently he said, a 14-year-old hafiz boy, he led me and the other ustads in Qiyamul Layl one night, and he recited the entire Qur'an in 7 hours and 48 minutes. Allahu Akbar. They started directly after Isha Salah, and they finished half an hour before Fajr. Allahu Akbar. When I heard that, I thought 100% this is possible. But only those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses. May Allah make us amongst those people. Allahumma ameen. My point here is not to put you down. My point here is to teach you that you should be ambitious when it comes to reading the Qur'an. In fact, in the month of Ramadan, it's not just about reading Qur'an. You can interact with the Qur'an in at least 5 different ways. And each way, you should have some goals that you want to achieve. So the first is the reading of the Qur'an, the reading of the Arabic Qur'an. And when it comes to this, you could set yourself a target to read one Qur'an in the month of Ramadan, which would mean reading 20 pages every day. And you could break that down even further to reciting 4 pages before each salah or after each salah. Because if you read 4 after Fajr and 4 after Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, you will read 20. And that would be one juz, which means you would finish one Qur'an in Ramadan. You could even go further and say, I would read 2 Qur'ans, which means you read 8 pages before or after every salah, ending up reading 2 Qur'ans. And I want you to think about the rewards here. One letter of Qur'an will give you 10 good deeds. When you read Alif Lam Mim, the Prophet ﷺ said, you get 30 hasanat. On one line of Qur'an, there are approximately, on average, 20 letters. So you're thinking 200 hasanat. In Ramadan, it increases even more. Minimum 200 hasanat for each line. And then there are 15 lines. And then You think of the numbers of reading one juz and you are in the thousands of hasanat. And on top of that, Allah's policy regarding hasanat is innal hasanat yudhibana sayyat. The good deeds, they delete evil deeds. So if you have amassed thousands of hasanat reading Quran and you have thousands of sins on your scale, what will happen? They will become deleted. Allahu Akbar. And you would still have more. You still have left over to help you in the grave and on Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. But besides reciting Quran, there is something else you can do. And that is to memorize some Quran. Many people here, all they have memorized is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And these are the only surahs they read. Maybe Inna A'tainaka al-Kawthar as well. And years have gone by. And this is the only Quran they know. This is embarrassing. Very embarrassing. That Allah has given you a mind and intellect. And you have memorized so many things in your life. The names of famous footballers and celebrities and only Allah knows. And yet you cannot push yourself to memorize one more surah. Yes, you can. Of course you can. So this Ramadan, set yourself a target. I'm going to memorize one more surah. Who knows? Maybe Allah will give you 50 more Ramadans in your life. And by the end of it, you may have memorized at least 3 juz of Quran. Subhanallah. Isn't that worth it? Of course. Small steps. Today, set yourself a goal. I'm going to memorize one new surah of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu grant us tawfiq. More than this, reciting and memorizing, you can do a third thing, which is to listen to the Quran. When you have free time, when you are commuting to work, when you are in the kitchen doing something, it is permissible to have some Quran playing so long as you are not talking over the Quran. You are not ignoring the Quran. You can hear it. Allow your heart to feel the recitation of the Quran. You will find it has many benefits. One of them is that the recitation of the Quran will bring you a sense of calmness in your life, strength in your life. But also, the Quran, fihi shifa, there is cure in the Quran. Diseases that you have in your heart, in your mind, in your body, they can be cured through the Quran. And how easy is it just to switch it on? Find a reciter that you love to listen to and you are playing it, subhanAllah. Not too long ago, my 2-year-old girl, she started to recite from Surah Al-Baqarah, from the first 3-4 verses. And I was shocked. I said to myself, I have not taught her Surah Al-Baqarah. I asked my wife, have you taught her Surah Al-Baqarah? And she said, no. I said, well, how does she know? She said, every night before she goes to bed, on my phone, I put on the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah. And just by hearing it every night, she is reciting Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ Allahu Akbar. So listening to the recitation of the Qur'an is also a way to interact with it. A fourth way to interact with the Qur'an. So now I have mentioned reciting, I have mentioned memorizing, and I have mentioned listening. A fourth way, which is to use the Qur'an for ruqyah, as a spiritual cure. Next time you feel a headache coming on, or your stomach is upset, or you feel some problem in your body, instead of going onto Google and researching your symptoms, recite Surah Al-Fatiha over yourself. How many of us neglect to use the Quran for ruqyah, even though one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is Surah Al-Shifa, Surah Al-Ruqyah. So easy, we all know it. And yet we neglect to use the Quran like this. You hear someone in your household saying, you know, I'm not feeling well, so you know what, let me recite some Quran over you. With the intention that Allah will cure them. This is a fourth way to interact with the Quran. Find an opportunity to do this in Ramadan. But the fifth may be the most important. More important than reciting? Yes, even more important than reciting. And that is to reflect over the Quran. How are you going to reflect over the Quran? You're going to find a translation of the Quran that when you read, you understand what you are reading. And you read, and then you ask yourself, what is Allah teaching me through these verses? What am I supposed to take of guidance from these verses? This is called tadabbur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not reflect over the Quran? Or is it the case that they are locks tying up their hearts, depriving them of the guidance of the Quran? Many people here have not read the message of the Quran, though they may have even memorized it. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting with a hafiz of Quran, a grown man, who told me he had led Taraweeh more than 28 times in his life. Allahu Akbar. 28 times. And he started to cry. And he said, you know what? I'm ashamed that I have memorized the whole Quran, and yet I do not know what it is talking about. How sad. But this is a situation that many of us are in. We need to change that. And Ramadan is the perfect time. So what I would recommend is that when you recite the Quran, let's say you are reciting one juz a day, so you're reciting 20 pages. You say, you know what, from the 20 pages, I'm going to take one page. I'm just going to read the English translation. Verse by verse, let it sit in my mind and reflect. Allah, what is the guidance in this verse? What am I supposed to learn in this verse? And you will find that Allah is talking to you. That you will find that the questions that you had about life are being answered in the Quran. Why? Because the Quran is a letter from Allah to humanity, teaching us how to live our lives and to find happiness in this life and the hereafter. Something that every human being wants, but it is right there in between our hands. And yet we neglect it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah allow us to make this month of Ramadan the month of the Quran. Allahumma ameen. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقيم الصلاة